Stephanie Scora joins us every so often when we need to be responsible. She is a Chicago-based activist, organizer, public speaker, and the co-author of the popular progressive Girl, I Guess, voter guide. They're here joining me in the studio to discuss this latest edition focused on the primaries, and Illinois gets to stand up next week. How are you? Are you exhausted?
Oh, incredibly. I am incredibly exhausted. And, you know, this is sort of a bittersweet guide for me because this is the first time I'm doing it by myself. Mm. Ellen, who I love, did what all good journalists do and burned out. and so, you know, I wrote this one solo with, you know, her support and love in the background. And yeah, I'm tired.
Well, last night at least gave you the opportunity to get to bed at a regular time as opposed to last week where I was like, no sleep for you.
Yeah, at least we got votes last night. Yeah. You know, I was on a live stream with Ben Jarofsky and the Chicago Reader and mm-hmm. Samina Mustafa. And, you know, we did this wonderful panel and answered some questions from the audience and, you know, watched the New Hampshire results roll in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything was really as it was expected. Pete Buttigieg, as I'm calling him now, is narrowing the gap, but there's not really any danger of him winning in New Hampshire. And it seems as though the scales have reverted back to normalcy as we're coming up on Nevada and South Carolina, where, you know, people with actual melanin live.
Mm. That's key. When we are talking about Iowa and New Hampshire, we are talking about two very homogenous.
A little pasty.
and that is certainly a question on the minds of a lot of Americans. Is this something that is changeable? Does the American process have room to say, hey, maybe we don't start in Iowa and New Hampshire? Maybe we start someplace that's more representative of the country as a whole. Is that something that you think is, you know, on the minds of the people who have the power to change that?
Yeah, you know, I think it is, especially after there was such a debacle in Iowa. There was a lot of talk about changing up the primary process, either turning Iowa into a primary or pushing Iowa back in the schedule so that it didn't have this disproportionate impact. There were some implications that Iowa has been counting votes wrong for decades that came out of one of those calls that I think it was Troy Pierce or something, some very badass politics name.
Yeah.
Troy Pierce had with the candidates in their campaign chairs. Or their campaign managers. And there was this implication that Iowa had been counting votes wrong for decades, and he hung up on the candidates. But this is something that's changeable. You know, it's not set in stone. It's just sort of the way that things are done, which, as we know, is just as good as being set in stone. But if the DNC wanted to change the process, it could. The only reason Iowa goes first is because its process takes so long. You know, they have this national spectacle of the precinct delegates. Mm-hmm. And then they choose precinct delegates, which go to the county, and select county delegates, which then go to the district, and select district delegates, which they then send to the state convention to send to the national convention. And it takes so long.
Why is Iowa making all this extra work for themselves?
You know, they're just, it's a particular kind of Midwest sensibility gone terribly awry.
Mm. I wonder what questions the live audience on your panel at the G-Man Tavern had for you yesterday. Anything stand out for you?
Yeah, there was one man who was very upset that I'm not a blue no matter who operation.
Mm.
Where, you know, there are some Democratic candidates that I will refuse to tell people to vote for just because I find them so terrible and so distasteful and so blatantly outside the realm of progressivism that I can't bring myself to cast a vote for them, even if I was holding my nose.
Mm.
Even if I were to rend my nose from my face, I wouldn't be able to cast a vote for them. And this man, you know, got up there and was like, oh, well, you better get ready for 4 more years of Donald Trump. You should be really afraid. And I'm like, look, I'm already Jewish and trans. I'm plenty afraid. You know, everybody that I care about and love and everybody in my inner circle is already very afraid. The difference between a moderate and a Republican for folks like me and folks, you know, like you and people who are multiply marginalized is the speed at which you die. And if you're going to wind up dead either way, we'd rather go down swinging. You know, I would rather vote for a progressive candidate or a leftist candidate, somebody who actually embodies a chance of me being able to exist as a living person in the United States, rather than compromise my values and my life on just getting Donald Trump out of office. You know, obviously I want to see him go, but I want to see him go and not have the possibility of coming back.
I'm Jill Hopkins. Stephanie Scora is here. We're talking about Girl, I Guess, a progressive voter guide to the 2020 Democratic primary in Cook County and beyond. Now, this is a voter guide. It is not a voter, go do this thing I told you to do.
Yeah. it's more a set of guidelines than anything.
What metrics do you use when you're coming up with this guide? And you do this for national elections. You do this for judges and representatives and things like that. There's got to be a method to this.
There is a method to the madness. So we have actually a methodology section in the guide that really plainly explains what candidates are rated on, what I gauge their progressiveness on. My categories this time were support for a free Palestine, endorsements from meaningful progressives and some past girl, I guess, endorsees, progressive positions on climate change, racial justice, support for decriminalizing sex work, support for trans people, intersex people, and the broader LGBTQ community, support for addressing gerrymandering and voter suppression, positions on policing, prison abolition, and bail and bond reform, their donations and funding sources, their stance on term limits, being pro-choice, which I call the Lipinski rule, and more specific things depending on the individual race. But I put that there in the guide very plainly so that folks can see what I'm evaluating progressiveness on,
mm-hmm.
not just have to take my word for it that there's some amorphous definition of progressive, which is this word that's become so broad that it doesn't really mean much of anything anymore. So I wanted to be specific and say, when I say this person is progressive, these are the things that I'm measuring that on.
Now, this is not necessarily a standalone guide. It's more of a companion piece, would you say?
Yeah, it's a companion to this wonderful source called Ballot Ready. Ballot Ready is, and this isn't an official partnership. This is just a thing that way back when Ellen and I wrote our first guide, we decided that Ballot Ready was a great resource,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to encourage people to use it. Ballot Ready is this wonderful website, which if you plug in your address, it will tell you who's on your ballot.
It's in a city like this, an invaluable resource.
It's essential. And so we encourage folks to use Ballot Ready so that they can know which races to be ready to vote for and not just walk into the guide and vote or walk into the booth and, you know, pull up the guide and have to keep scrolling and scrolling for whichever their race is.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, in the past, and I am going to do an update in March to reflect this, use the wonderful resource that Injustice Watch puts out. Injustice Watch is a wonderful organization that is essentially a judicial watchdog in the state of Illinois and in Cook County more specifically, where they watch elected judges and they monitor their decisions, they monitor their bar association ratings, they monitor the sentences that they mete out, and they rate those judges or, you know, they really spill the tea on them and tell folks whether these judges are acceptable, whether they've done some stuff that's sort of shady, whether they have a bad record on incarcerating, you know, black and brown folks, whether they put out harsher sentences for black and brown folks, and really what the deal about each of those judges is. And the folks at Injustice Watch, when it comes to that, are much smarter than me. So I'm in communication with them actually right now, and I'm going to put out a big update focusing on 5 or 6 judicial races for the county and some more specific judicial sub-circuits when they put out their voter guide, which only focuses on judges.
Stephanie Scora is here. We're talking the girl, I guess, progressive voter guide. Now, the Illinois primary is a month away. In the time between now and then, who knows who will have left the race. Does that make your job easier, or does that just mean you have to turn more attention to the minutiae of the candidates who are still left in the race?
Yeah, it really means I have to pay attention to the minutiae. And I pay attention to the minutiae anyway because I am what I like to refer to as a nerd. But I really liked paying attention to that minutiae because sometimes some of these races come down to the minutiae. There was a race in the 7th Congressional District, which is in Chicago, and there are a couple of wonderful young leftists running against Danny Davis, who is this multi-year incumbent. He's been in office for forever. He's really an institution in Cook County and in Chicago politics. And there's two folks running, and there's a number of folks running to unseat him. But the two that are most notable are Keena Collins and Anthony Clark. And they're both fantastic candidates. You know, I would have loved to endorse them both, but they're running in the same race.
Mm.
And their platforms are incredibly similar. Their stances are incredibly similar. They each have endorsements from individuals that I hold in really high regard and organizations that I hold in really high regard. So it was a difficult decision for me to make. And it really came down to the minutiae of which issues did each candidate have a public position on and which issues did I only have private information available for. And I wound up having to endorse Anthony Clark because while I had private documents that showed Keena Collins was just as progressive on a number of issues as Anthony, all of Anthony Clark's stuff was public. And all of his stuff was public before Keena Collins's. I haven't checked in the last few days, but I still don't know if Keena Collins has her full platform out. Mm. And, you know, it made it impossible for me to go with her. And I started looking for reasons to endorse her over Anthony. And what I was looking for is essentially I would be endorsing somebody with fewer public positions that they could be held accountable to just because, you know, I liked them.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be, you know, an objective measurement of how the candidates are progressive. And Anthony Clark has been completely, you know, I like him a lot, too. And he's been very transparent and very open and very public with all of his stances. He even added a page to his website after I asked him his stance about Palestine. And so he's just been so responsive, and everything that he believes is out in the open, and it's been out there the whole time. And I was really blown away by that. And that got him the endorsement, just the fact that he had more public statements than Keena Collins.
Are there any races that are kind of under the radar that you think folks need to be paying more attention to?
Yes, absolutely. So the 13th Congressional District, which is not a number that folks in Cook County are used to hearing about because it's in South Central Illinois, is an incredibly important race.
Mm-hmm.
So the 13th Congressional District is this blue gerrymandered district that's been held by a Republican, Rodney Davis, for the last several cycles. The district includes Bloomington Normal, Champaign-Urbana, Springfield, and goes all the way to the Missouri border. You know, a lot of people who are in Chicago have experience in those towns. If you have kids, your kids might go to school in one of those towns. It's an important congressional district. And there are two people running for the Democratic nomination in that seat. There's Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan, who was the nominee in 2018 and went down to the wire with Rodney Davis. There were actually some news outlets that called the election for her and then took it back, and she wound up losing. And there's this wonderful, amazing, progressive human being who's a really good friend of mine, Stephanie Smith, who's running to beat Betsy and have a shot at taking on Rodney Davis. And, you know, Stephanie Smith is a fantastic candidate. You know, beyond all the reasons that I like her as a human being, she is queer. She's a former sex worker. She is working class and has been her whole life. She really understands what it's like to be housing insecure, to be food insecure, to deal with the struggles that people in that district every day are going through. And she can motivate the kind of turnout that it would take to beat Rodney Davis in a district with some significant Republican populations. Because Steph is able to speak to the real struggles that folks are having. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're Democrat or Republican. If you're poor and if you've been homeless, if you can't figure out where to buy food, if you're being priced, if you're a farmer, if you're being priced off your land, Stephanie knows how to talk to people about that because she's had many of those experiences. Betsy hasn't. Betsy was a great candidate in the 2018 cycle. You know, she wasn't my favorite, but she was the one that wound up coming really close. And this time she's completely mailing in this race. Her campaign website doesn't have a single issue stance on it. She's running a very moderate, very mainline Democrat campaign. She won't support a Green New Deal. She won't support student loan forgiveness. She won't support Medicare for All. And these are things that South Central Illinois needs desperately. The amount of lives that would be saved in Champaign-Urbana alone with Medicare for All is just astounding. And Stephanie is doing a really great job. She's running a really great campaign. And I really think that that district needs some more attention, because if she can get the resources behind her to unseat Betsy for that nomination, Stephanie Smith can beat Rodney Davis. I lived in that district for about 6 years. I know the pulse of what's going on the ground in the 13th. Betsy cannot beat Rodney Davis. Stephanie Smith can. I know that for sure.
Stephanie Skor is here. I'm Jill Hopkins. We're talking the Girl, I Guess, Progressive Voter Guide. Now, my favorite thing about this guide is that it's a living document.
Yes.
And that, much like all of us, it maintains its prerogative to change.
Yes, it does.
Why is that an important aspect to the voter guide?
Yeah, I mean, you know, especially this guide, I'm a one-woman operation. I do all the research, all the writing, all of everything myself. And even when Ellen was still doing it, we were two people doing all this reading and all this research and all this writing ourselves. There are things that we don't know. There are things that I can't find on my own. There are things that I would have no way of knowing because I don't live in every single congressional district. You know, I live where I live, and there's just some stuff that I can't be able to find out. And so when I make an endorsement on the initial release of the guide and folks contact me saying, oh, you know, I think you got this wrong. Here's some more information, or here's a clarification on this person's position, or hi, I'm this candidate. I don't actually believe that, mm-hmm. or I never made a public statement on this, but this is my stance and I've updated my website. You know, it would be dishonest of me knowing that stuff to not update the guide to reflect it. And sometimes it does change the endorsement. For example, in the first congressional district, I unendorsed Bobby Rush, the incumbent, and endorsed Robert Emmons Jr. because I had a 30-minute conversation with Robert Emmons on the phone about how he actually does support BDS and he does support a free Palestine, and he changed his website to update that. And the lack of clarity on that was the reason why I didn't endorse him in the first place. And I was happy to change that endorsement when he corrected that.
Stephanie Skora, how can people find the Girl, I Guess 2020 primary guide?
So if it is on social media or a Google Drive near you, it's literally just a Google Doc. So if you know anybody that has it, they can share it with you. You can share it with all your friends. I'm going to Google it right now to see if it's Googleable.
It is. I looked at that's how I got to it.
It is. It is Googleable. The 2019 one is still the top results. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll have to optimize our SEO for this one or something. If you Google Girl, I Guess Voter Guide 2020, it's still, you'll find it. You can find it. So you found it. Yeah,
I did find it. Okay. It was way easy.
It is Googleable. And then you can look on social media. I put it on my Instagram bio. I have a public Instagram, just at Stephanie Skora on Instagram. It's the link in my bio. And I made a bit.ly for it. bit.ly/girl-i-guess 2020p.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you especially for putting all your time and hard work into this voter guide. You know, it's a labor of love for you, and we couldn't thank you enough.